Hello and welcome to the Burled Arch Podcast here on Mushing. Today is Saturday. The ceremonial start was in Anchorage, and we're going to talk all about it, including our first musher profile of the year. Let's kick it off.
Nobody covers dog sledding like Mushing from First Paw Media. Our team of athletes, volunteers, race organizers, and mushers like Robert and Michelle Forto brings you closer to the sport. If it's happening, we are there. Live from the qualifying races in January and February, the Iditarod in March, and in the summer, Mushing takes you on the road with our team and trail tour. We connect you with the history of the sport, in-depth interviews with the top mushers, and great storytelling and breaking news all year long. Follow on mushing.com.
We're calling all fans of the Iditarod. For a limited time only, you can receive a sticker from Mushing as a thank you gift when you donate online. Visit mushing.com/donate to support us today and keep your independent Mushing media thriving.
Hello and welcome to the Burled Arch Podcast. We are the nightly show for the 2026 Iditarod, the 54th running of the last great race. I am Robert.
I'm Michelle.
And we're going to kick this off the right way. It is Saturday and the ceremonial started today. So we have a lot to cover, including all the goings on downtown. We're going to talk about our first musher profile of the night. But before we do that, we're going to get the scene from downtown. Michelle, I know you were there this morning, bright and early, ready to go. What was happening?
So you guys, my day did start off nice and early. The drive in, I passed quite a few mushers on their way to the ceremonial start. I got into Anchorage about 8:30 and it was already ripping and roaring. I got my gear on, jumped out of the car, and started walking up 4th Avenue. Now, I parked on I Street, so let's set the scene for you guys. That is pretty much where the dog mushers start lining up. And then they line up 4th Avenue on either side and a few of the side streets. And this year, it was quite a bit different than years in the past. And I'll get into that in just a moment. But people were already starting to mark their spots and get ready for the festivities to get started. One thing I noticed right away was the atmosphere this year seemed a little chill. It also seemed a little bit chaotic at times, and that was as we got things going and got underway. Here's what I noticed right away with the setup. Typically, as the mushers are pulling in, right around the time I arrived, they are guided to their parking spot. Now, the volunteers do their best. They try to make sure everybody goes where they're supposed to go. I don't know if there was some misdirection or what happened, but it didn't seem that the parking spots were flowing like they normally do. You see, the first mushers that line up, they line up closer to the courthouse on I Street that I was talking about. And then they go all the way down to E Street, which is where the arch is. And typically, you have the junior Iditarod musher winner, and then musher 2, musher 3, musher 4, and so on. And then as they start to fill up the main 4th Avenue street area on either side, they'll funnel off onto a couple of the side streets. There are only 36 mushers this year, so that seemed like it should have been a little bit fuller, but it wasn't. And here's the thing. The mushers were not lined up like we've seen in years past. As I mentioned, we had a few mushers go out of order. It's literally supposed to be like a zipper. Musher 2, then musher 3, then musher 4, so on and so forth. Well, we got down to about Ryan Reddington, musher number 5, and then Keel Roki, And then all of a sudden, where was Jesse Holmes? He came from way far back, not where I expected him to be coming out from. And then we hop over to one of the side streets, and two or three mushers come out of there, and we expected closer to six or seven to come out of there. And then somebody came off of the main street. And so it was going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. The other thing I noticed, as the mushers were going down 4th Avenue to get staged for David A. Pike to do the countdown, I noticed that there were still a lot of spectators. Granted, they had access to be there, but there was a lot of spectators in the way. And that made it very difficult for dog teams and their handlers to traverse down 4th Avenue. There were a lot of sponsors that got special badges for all of their employees and their family members to be on 4th Avenue, not on the outside of the fence, but on the inside of the fence. And that seemed to cause a little bit of bottlenecking, especially on the side streets when the mushers had to come out. And when mushers come off of the side streets, they really have to swing those dog teams wide. And that can cause some issues.
So one reason that they could be out of order like that is if they're running a couple of teams out of the same truck. So if, you know, say two mushers are running out of the CV kennel and they have one dog truck, for example, they may be parked in the same spot. So that's one reason. But yeah, you're right. As they move down the road way from I all the way to E, as you know, going backwards in alphabetical order, that's a pretty long stretch. And it's always interesting to see how far some of these handlers have to run. And they've caught wind of how to do this a little bit better. I remember doing this a few times early on in our time in Alaska, and we would just be holding on to the dog's harnesses and all that. Now a lot of teams use leashes. A lot of teams have a heck of a lot more handlers, but I don't know how many times I've seen people just fall down right off of the line. They just sort of roll out of the way, and somebody moves in and moves up, and it just goes, sort of like a war movie. A guy gets shot and falls down and rolls over, and the next guy up, the next man up is ready to go. But yeah, it's a very interesting setup. There is a little bit of controlled chaos. That's why I called the show that last night. So we're going to do something pretty cool here right now before we talk about the start itself. We got a few interviews when Michelle was down there, and I'm not going to play these in any particular order, but the first one is going to be with the Boosers. Michelle, set the scene for us before we play the clip.
In all of my years doing interviews of any kind, this is going to go down by far as probably one of my top five. So I'd like to introduce you guys to the next Booser dog musher. His name is Kaladid Booser. He is 3 years old. Listen close.
Hold on.
Say it into the microphone.
What is your name?
Kaladin.
Kaladin. How old are you?
3 years old.
And why are you here today?
Because the Iditarod starts.
Because the Iditarod starts? Who are you here with?
Daddy, mommy, sister.
And?
Sweetie and Paul.
All right. Are you excited to get to ride on this sled down this street today?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah? Who is your favorite dog on Daddy's team? Who's your favorite dog on Daddy's team?
Hickory.
Hickory?
Hickory? Awesome. Thank you so much, little man, for the interview. I appreciate you.
Thank you. You're a good interviewer. Very, very good.
How's it going, Martin? Good to see you. Michelle Forteau with Mushroom Magazine. I appreciate letting me talk to the little guy for a minute. Are you guys excited about...
Tie down somewhere?
So pretty exciting this year, Martin, if you'd give me just a second. What is the most exciting thing about this Iditarod for you guys this year?
Oh, it's fun to see Ron and Alyssa get their own operation going. And this will be, even though it will be his fourth Iditarod, it's sort of like the first, you know. The first of, I remember many decades ago when I finally got to run my own team after having done a couple Iditarods with other people's dogs. They were Siberian Huskies, and then I had some epiphanies along the way and started raising my own kids, I mean four-legged kids. And then in 1986, I felt like it was my first Iditarod because it was, you know, all the years and years of breeding and raising the dogs finally came to fruition, and we got to take our own yearling team down the trail, and that was really exciting. And now we sort of see that being repeated again. Roan, even though he ran three Iditarods from our kennel, now he has his own operation, his own family, his own kids, and Kaladin gave you a great interview. He's well spoken for a three-year-old.
I enjoyed that interview with him and with you. Thank you so much, sir. I wish your family the best this year.
Thank you so much, Mushing Magazine. Keep up the good work.
So that was little Kaladin Booser and his grandpa Martin. And if you know from our show last year, Roan was our co-host for our coverage. And a little bit of inside knowledge, if you're not a subscriber to Mushing Magazine, little Kaladin is a superstar in our last issue. Him and his grandmother submitted a cookie recipe that was Martin Booser's favorite cookies. I thought that was pretty cool, isn't it?
It was very cool. They are a very gracious family, and I did enjoy my time interviewing Kaladin and his paw.
Okay, next up, we are going to hear from a handler for Thomas Werner and another one of the Norwegian mushers. I believe his name is Marcus. Set the scene for this one just a second.
I'm walking around trying to see who has time to be interviewed. And here I come up across this gentleman who spot me and made eye contact. That was probably his mistake because I moved in and I was able to chat with him for a minute. I wasn't sure if he was the musher or the handler, but he graciously provided us with some insight.
My name is Marcus. I'm from Norway. I'm handler for Thomas and Kjell Inge, so two mushers actually. I'm excited this year because I've never been here before, so very exciting to see what's going on over here and yeah, just see the nature.
In the nature. So it's your first trip to Alaska then?
Yes, it is.
What is your favorite thing so far?
Well, it's the view to the mountains. I haven't been on top of one yet, but hopefully I will.
Hopefully you will. Now, are you going to be up at Nome when they cross the finish line?
Yes, I am. I'm going to be there waiting for them.
All right. So who is your favorite dog on their team?
Well, one of my favorites is Clint. He's going to be running on Thomas's team. That's my favorite dog.
And why is he your favorite dog?
Well, we bonded quite well when I first got to Thomas. I've been with him for 3 years now, so I know all the dogs that he has. So I bonded quickly with him, and yeah, since day one.
Since day one. All right. Well, I wish you guys a great Iditarod. Thank you.
So that was the handler for Expedition Musher Kiel Roki and former Iditarod champion Thomas Werner, all the way from Norway and via Switzerland. That is the Expedition class. Pretty cool concept, if I do say so myself. We'll talk about much more than that here in a second. We're going to hear from another handler. And her name is Sarah, and she is from Ryan Reddington's kennel. Set the scene.
So I came upon Sarah and a little tiny pup. And this little tiny pup was stealing all of our attention. But afterwards, we were able to have a little chat with Sarah.
My name is Sarah Kiefer. I'm here with Ryan Reddington, and we're here for the ceremonial start.
Can you tell me about this puppy you're holding?
Yep, this little puppy needed a little bit of extra help, so we brought her to the start. She was too young to stay home alone, so we gave her a little bit of a bottle this morning with some milk in it and set her in the snow, and she's already going potty on her own, and she has Sky here to keep her company and show her what it's like to be a dog in downtown Anchorage.
Is this your first time doing Iditarod with Ryan, helping him out?
This is my 10th year doing I Did Rod with Ryan. I came here in 2017, and that year actually we also had little puppies at the start. And so it's kind of a nice milestone for us to be here together again. And I'll ride out on the sled with him out to the Campbell Airstrip. And it's this little puppy's first I Did Rod, though.
Absolutely perfect. I know a lot of your guys' fans recognized your name when I asked you what your name was, and they'll be excited to hear that you're back with him, going out on the tag sled, having a good time. Thank you so much for giving me an interview. I do appreciate it.
Our pleasure. Thank you.
Did you guys listen close? If you did, I bet you heard that puppy.
Well, Michelle, since you were right there at the Reddington truck, we got a chance to grab a minute or so with the former champion himself, Ryan Reddington. What was it about?
Well, you know what, Robert? I got sent over to Ryan's rig by a fan that sent you a message and said for me to get over there and ask him a question. And so that's exactly what I did. And here's a little nugget for everybody. Sarah was wearing a green parka, but at that time, Ryan wasn't. But I recognized him because he and I were both wearing seal hats, and I've seen his seal hat before, and we've both talked about it. So give this one a listen.
Can you tell your fans how you are feeling today?
Yeah, I'm feeling really, really good. I'm excited and a little nervous with all the snow, but doing good overall.
And can you tell us which dog or group of dogs that you think on this team is going to shine for you?
I think all my dogs are going to shine, but I borrowed one from my nephew Isaac here, this dog that we're standing next to, Dwight, and I'm excited to run him. He's been in Isaac's Copper Basin and Junior Iditarod team, and I'm got a lot of nice lead dogs, and I'm really confident with the team.
All right, thank you so much for your time today, Ryan. I do appreciate it.
Thank you.
Since we're talking about former champions with Thomas Verner, Martin Boosser, and Ryan Reddington, you got a chance to meet up with the king himself, Jeff. Let's hear that one.
Well, in order to get an interview with Mr. King, you kind of got to catch him off guard a little bit. And I've learned that by watching him ignore others and gravitate more to the fans, which is exactly what they're supposed to be doing. But Mr. King popped out of the back of Jessica Klyka's trailer as they were starting to bring their dogs out for some fresh air and get set up for the festivities. And I got him cornered just enough to give me a 2-minute interview.
I'd like you to be able to tell the fans what you are doing this year at Iditarod.
I am taking advantage of Iditarod's new expedition category, kind of embracing the opportunity to share the trail with someone with the desire but not the experience, with the finances that can help Iditarod and villages along the way. My rider's named Steve Curtis, super nice guy, fit. Came down off Everest and said, heard that more people had climbed Everest than ran the Iditarod. And so he said, okay, then I got one more thing to do. And here he is. Nice guy. And look forward to traveling with him.
And for this team, which dog do you think is a standout? We're asking this year, from the Mushers' point of view, which dog on the team is the standout for you?
Well, I want to give credit to Jessica Klyka, who is providing most of the dogs for this event. My dogs were not trained at the same level. This came up in January. Jessica and I go way back. I have littermates to dogs, or she has littermates to dogs that she got from me in the same team. So 2/3 of the teams belong to Jessica Klyka, and I'm providing 6. Two of my leaders, Patience and Luna, you know, they're great, and they love what they're doing. And this guy is Dutton. I'm excited. It'll be really his first race of any length. But keep in mind, we're not racing. We're going to stay up there with the and utilize the trail and the checkpoints and stay out of the way of the racers. I expect to be a day or two behind most everybody. Yeah, we're just looking for an adventure and help turn the page, possibly. We'll see. Ask me in Nome, and I'll tell you if I think we ought to do this again.
So you've heard two interviews now about the expedition class, and here we are with Jeff King talking about his role with Steve Curtis, the Canadian expedition team, along with Jessica Klyka and Andy Poole. Up next is a pretty cool little interview. It is about one of the Iditariders. If you're not familiar with the Iditarider program, early in the off season, the Iditarod puts up an auction and you can bid on the chance to ride in the sled of your favorite musher. And sometimes these go for thousands of dollars. And it's a pretty cool program. All of the money goes to help the Iditarod put on the race. And they usually meet up with the Iditarod musher. They have breakfast or lunch or something, get to know each other. And then they're loaded up in the sled and they take off down the 12-mile run from the ceremonial start to the Campbell Airstrip. Set the scene for us.
All I gotta say is, if you are fans of mushing on Facebook, you'll find this guy's photograph. And I dubbed him Idita Dude.
How's it going?
Sensational.
And can you tell me who you are and why you're here?
Sure. My name's Kip from Corvallis, Oregon. And about 27 years ago, I met a Red Lantern winner of the Iditarod. And I didn't know at that time what the Red Lantern winner was or who. And he said, well, I'm the person that comes in dead last but comes in. And that was out of Whittier on the Klondike Express. And I've been wanting to be a part of this ever since.
And so you came up from Oregon, and is this your first time as an Iditarider?
Yep, first time as an Iditarider, first time as a person to even experience it or watch it firsthand.
And who is your musher?
Hannah from Oslo, from Norway, and my ancestry is from Norway as well, from Innvik, and so we were talking about the homeland, motherland, and the logistics that she has endured to get her team here is unbelievable. Wow.
And do you have a dog at your own home?
I certainly do. We have Amore, a Rottweiler, which unfortunately she can't be here, but she'd sure love playing with all these.
You know, Rottweilers do weight pulling.
Well, she sure is strong enough. I have a hope she could do it.
Absolutely. Well, I hope that you have a good time. Enjoy Alaska, and don't let this be your one and only time here.
We plan on coming back many times. Thanks so much.
So there you have it, guys. A little bit of the flavor of the ceremonial start. I know Michelle's mic was a little hot, peeking out a little bit. We'll make sure when we do some interviews tomorrow.
I was just excited.
We will tone it down just a little bit so it's not so hot for that. But anyway, that was pretty cool, Michelle. I know we did that last year, but let's finish up the ceremonial. How was the start? What did the teams look like? What was the weather like? What was the crowd reaction? Let's just talk about the after they say the 3-2-1 go.
So the weather seemed a little bit heavy for everybody. Nobody enjoys wet snow, and that's what we were encountering. And it kind of makes everybody's spirits a little bit heavy instead of light and bright if we have bluebird skies. I did chat with a few other mushers. I've got a few friends and things that I see along the way, but I didn't interview everybody. I did stop and chat with Will Rhodes and Brenda Mackey and wished them well. Their dogs looked great. In fact, everybody's dogs did look great. They were raring to go, but they were all chill. Nobody seemed anxious or out of sorts. There wasn't any, panic barking going on or anything like that. Everybody was just ready to get going. In fact, it seemed a little bit more like a laid back group, if I'm honest with you, Robert. I mean, there wasn't a lot of running around, not sure what to do, even for how many rookies we have.
Yeah, so always a fun time to be down there. Remember, this is Alaska's Super Bowl. This ceremonial start and, of course, the restart tomorrow. It was definitely a snowy start to Iditarod. We've been down there. It's been quite warm, and we've been down there, and it's been quite cold. But everybody got off with a hitch. Remember that the first 12 miles of the race, they do not count towards standings or towards the clock. And you cannot necessarily win the race from the ceremonial start, but you can lose the race. A few years ago, somebody crashed and had to scratch right after the ceremonial start. So that is that. Tomorrow is when it really starts kicking off. That is the restart up here in Willow, 2 p.m. Alaska time. And if you're heading up and you do not have an iPhone that updates itself, remember that tomorrow is daylight savings time here in Alaska. So we will be springing forward. So you will be late if you don't set your clock right. So we will be out there again to do some more interviews and looking forward to that. And with that, the start starts at 2 o'clock. Everybody will go out in 2-minute intervals and the scene will be much different. I doubt it will be laid back. Everybody will have their game face on. Everybody will be raring to go because once they pull that hook, guess what, guys? They are hoping that they have a clean run for the next 1,000 miles. So it will be an entirely different setup. So the way it typically works is everybody will go out. Since we only have 36 mushers, it'll be an hour and 12 minutes. So by 3:30 p.m., everybody will be on the trail. They will take off across Willow Lake, go through a little bit of a neighborhood, come down onto several lakes. One of them is Long Lake. It's about 3 or 4 miles long. And there are tons of people out on the lake doing the Iditarod thing. They call it trailgating. And they will have barbecues and bonfires and passing out hot dogs and giving high fives and signs and everything. It is like a parade for the first 12 miles or so. Right after all of those lake runs, they will make a sharp left-hand turn down Corral Hill. And for years past, that's where a lot of media would set up because that is the first spot of real action on the trail. They come down off of the bluff there, hit the Big Sioux River at that point, run on the river for, 20 miles or so, 15 miles, and then they'll come to a spot that is called Scary Tree. And for many years, there was literally a scary tree there. That's where they hang a right up the Yentna River and onward to the first checkpoint, which is Yentna Station. They always have great hospitality there. We've been there many times. Michelle and I went out there last year on the snow machine, and we got so many pictures out there along the way. And it's always cool when the mushers are going by and they say, "Hey, I know you. You're Robert from Mushing, or you're Michelle from the podcast," as the mushers are running by. That was always a cool thing. They always make a huge spaghetti dinner there at Yentna Station, but most of the time it is for naught because not very many people will stop there, people meaning dog teams, will stop there for any amount of time. They're only 35 miles into the run at that point, so they will continue on up towards Squintna, which I believe is 77 miles from the start, and there is where you'll see some of the teams start to do their first camp. So even as early as late tomorrow night, you will see people on the trackers dead stops if you're following on the Insider. And then, like we said, it's off to the races. They're working their way up to Finger Lake and Rainy Pass and the Alaska Range and onward from there. And then the race starts getting interesting. So let's jump into one of my favorite things that we do on the Burled Arch podcast, and that is our musher profile. We typically spotlight an relatively unknown musher. And today we're going to be talking about a rookie running out of Travis Beal's kennel. His name is Sam Papperman, I would assume how you say that. Remember, we said last night on our disclaimer, we hope to get most of these names right. Michelle always handles these. I add a little bit of a personal detail if I know these guys at the end. Michelle, what do you know about Sam?
Well, Sam grew up in Seward, Alaska, and his path into mushing started in the most natural way possible. You see, he lived across the street from Travis Beal's, and what began as time spent hanging around the dog yard quickly turned into something more serious. By the age of 14, Sam was working at Turning Heads Kennel, helping with the daily routines that keep a competitive sled dog team running. And within a few years, he was on the runners himself. Since 2019, Sam has been deeply involved in the training and care of a large kennel of around 65 dogs, gaining hands-on experience in the demanding world of long-distance racing. Along the way, he has competed in several Iditarod qualifying races, including the Junior Iditarod, steadily building toward the next step in his mushing career. This season, he makes that leap with his rookie run to Nome. Now, Sam does credit Travis as one of his most important mentors, not only for teaching him the fundamentals of dog care and training, but also for showing him what it takes to live and work outdoors in Alaska's toughest conditions. For Sam, the Iditarod represents more than a race. It is a chance to share a long journey with his team and see just what those dogs are capable of on the trail. When he's not running dogs, Sam keeps busy in the Alaska outdoors. He enjoys backcountry skiing, biking, and hiking, and he also volunteers with the Bear Creek Fire Department. In addition, he works as a Q-Med aboard the research vessel RV Skuliak. I apologize if I've said that wrong. Operated by the University of Alaska Fairbanks. With strong support from friends and family behind him, Sam is preparing for the challenge of the trail as he steps into his first Iditarod. Robert, when did Sam run Junior Iditarod? I recognize his name and a little bit of his backstory when we were doing the research. And I want to say it was after our daughter ran Iditarod, Junior Iditarod.
From my understanding, Sam ran the Junior Iditarod in 2020, coming in eighth place. I don't know much about Sam. I'll be interested in following him along. I think he'll do pretty well. Turning Heads Kennel always does pretty dang good in the Iditarod. They've never won it yet, but they're always nipping at the heels.
So you're saying Beal's heels?
That's a pretty good pun, Michelle. Let's hear our moment in mushing history.
Welcome to the Mushing Podcast. It's time for another memorable moment in mushing history. Sponsored by Peak Experience, providing experiential and team-building courses.
Moment in mushing history from March 1994, team and trail. Whoa, that's a 32 years ago. For the first two Iditarods, mushers drove all the way from Anchorage to Nome, including a particularly treacherous stretch across the narrow shoulder of the two-lane Kinnick River Highway Bridge. In 1975, Iditarod organizers established the concept of a run to Eagle River, with an hour's truck drive and a Wasilla restart. In 1980, Bear Ground forced then ITC President Al Crane to return to a brief Anchorage ceremony with the actual start at the Nancy Lake Recreational Area in Willow. Iditarod spent an additional 3 years of ceremonial Anchorage starts, with the actual starts in the vicinity of Wasilla, until the race had sufficiently grown in prominence for Anchorage City fathers to allow. In other rule changes, the long mandatory layover, which was increased to 30 hours last year, has been returned to 24 hours, a recognition that the extra 6 hours of boredom was actually detrimental to the dogs. The 12-hour White Mountain layover has been reduced to its pre-1993 8 hours, and a third mandatory 8-hour stop has been added to be taken somewhere along the Yukon River.
So as you can see, Michelle is reading from the Team and Trail from 1994. So when she says last year's rule, she was talking about the 1993 race. But as you can see, things are already developing into the race that we know today with the mandatory stops and the mandatory rest in White Mountain, the 8 hour on the Yukon River, and on and on. It's so cool to see how things come together. And if you hear our interviews that we did with Rod Perry, in particular on episode number 3 of our series, Rod talks about those early Iditarod runs over the Kinnick River Bridge. Michelle, you and I have driven over that bridge I don't know how many times over the last 15 or 16 years, and it is still kind of sketchy, isn't it?
Well, thank God it's no longer a two-lane highway bridge. I'm guessing that that meant that it was two directions, north and south, not the way it is now where we have two lanes going north and two lanes going south.
Yeah, in the series, Rod also talks about the 1964 earthquake that happened here in Alaska, and that was in the exact area that we're talking about near the Kinnick River Bridge, and you can still see some of the damage from that all those years later. Michelle, I'm excited to see where this goes tomorrow. Tomorrow will be right in the thick of things. It will start day one, if you will, of our coverage, day one of race day of our coverage. And we're going to continue on for the next 2 weeks, almost 2 weeks exactly, through the banquet, the finisher's banquet, and see how things develop.
Absolutely, Robert. And I'm so glad you'll be able to join me tomorrow at the Willow Restart. I know today you were wrapping up a dog mushing class that you teach through Alaska Pacific University. Oh, yeah. Maybe some of you didn't know about that. Robert has been teaching dog mushing to college students for a little more than 5 years now, through the University of Alaska Anchorage and Alaska Pacific University. The course at UAA is a very short one-credit course. It literally is a power weekend. But the course through APU is a two-credit course and spans the better part of about 5 or 6 weeks. So that means that we see these students come out to our place for 6 weekends in a row, and we teach them Robert teaches them all about dog mushing. I teach them about hospitality and a little bit of leadership sprinkled in there. But they have a good time. But that is why he has not been hanging out with me at today's ceremonial start. So I get to have him hang out tomorrow. And let me just let you guys know that tomorrow on the podcast, obviously, we're going to do our recap of the restart. And we're going to get some more of those sound bites. I can't promise that I'll have toddlers and puppies, but I'll do my best. If you have questions, be sure to leave us a text or voice message by calling our hotline at 303-578-9881. Again, that number is 303-578-9881. Or you can always send us an email to podcast@mushing.com.
And thank you guys so much to who went ahead and became members of Mushing and signed up for our magazine and all the other perks. We really appreciate that. Our next issue will be coming out very soon. We're working on issue, I believe it's number 202, and it is going to have some absolutely spectacular photos. So definitely pay attention to that. And as we're saying that, remember tomorrow we're going to drop a very special rate for our membership program in conjunction with this race. So you want to make sure you're following us over on our socials, in particular on our Mushing Magazine Facebook page. We will be back tomorrow night. We'll see you guys next time. Goodbye.
Are you a fan of the great outdoors? Do you enjoy the thrill of speed and adventure? Then listen up. Introducing Mushing, your ultimate guide to the exciting world of dog-powered sports and mushing. Whether you're a seasoned musher or just starting out, Mushing has got you covered. Get ready to immerse yourself in captivating stories of incredible sled dog races, expert training tips from seasoned professionals, and gear reviews to help you make the right choices for your team. From the breathtaking landscapes of Alaska to the snowy trails of Scandinavia, Mushing takes you on a thrilling journey through the world of dog-powered sports. Don't miss out on the latest issue, packed with exclusive interviews with top mushers, in-depth articles on sled dog nutrition, and stunning photography that will transport you to the heart of the action. So whether you're dreaming of competing in the Iditarod or simply want to learn more about this incredible sport, Mushing is your go-to resource. Subscribe now and get ready to unleash your passion for mushing. Visit our website at mushing.com or find us on your favorite podcast platform. Mushing, where the spirit of adventure meets the power of the pack.